You're now listening to The Brian Callen Show, rated the number one podcast of all time.
Of all time. Make sure you're ready, because this is the podcast where you are guaranteed to learn virtually everything.
All right, everybody, this is the Brian Callen Show. I am very excited. I have none other than Ronda Rousey and Mr. Brennan Schaub, who's my dear friend, here. And, you know, I could go into a whole thing, but welcome to the mother of all podcasts. Welcome to the podcast that was rated by the International Podcast Association as the number one podcast of all time.
Yeah. There is an association like that?
The International Federation. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. as if there is any such thing. In fact,
Where did you find it?
It took me a long time to found. I founded it online, and I voted myself the number one podcast. Well, now that I have you, I was so excited. I've had so many interesting people, but one of the things I purposely didn't do any research on you. I didn't have to, because for me, watching you, this is why I think you're so significant. But we'll talk and stuff. I've never been excited to watch two women fight. It's not a chauvinist thing either. It's more just I love fighting. I'm a fight fan, and I love watching two guys go at it. And it's the same reason maybe I don't watch women's basketball the way I watch the NBA, for a lot of reasons. But your level of intensity and competition and skill is just, for me, it's you know, we watch sports because it's true drama. We don't know what's going to happen next. But your poise and your grace and your example, I think, you know, I always say, one of my things in my stand-up is I used to say, I don't want my daughter identifying or admiring someone like Kim Kardashian or Paris Hilton, because they just have a bone structure that cuts light well. And they sucked, you know, they had sex on film and they hawk perfume. I want somebody who accomplishes things, and someone like Ronda Rousey. I actually say that on my stand-up. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons I'm so excited, because you are, and I don't want to put, I hate your competitors, so I don't want to put pressure and even say anything and define you in any way, but you are an example, like a very, very positive, powerful example. And I think, for me, what makes you so exciting is the fact that you are kind of a groundbreaker, you know? So not to give you a huge role, but we need trumpets for that introduction. Brendan, you should have been like, dun, 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 dun.
Do I need drums over here?
Yes, you should have had. I told you to bring the tuba, you asshole.
I told you that laying pedals at my feet wouldn't work good for radio.
I was going to say, I would lay pedals at your feet. Me and Jay Moore went through a whole riff of what would happen if I dated you and how you could kick my ass. And every day I'd come in like sort of a tight pair of shorts, like, honey, I made you your protein shake. Do you want to practice your arm bar on me?
I'm actually going to go see him tonight.
Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, doing stand-up?
Yeah.
It's too bad. You saw me trying a bunch of stuff out. You got to see a real show. No, Jay, to me, is one of the most talented dudes in the world.
No, he said it's too bad.
I mean, it's too bad you haven't seen me at my best. Yeah, right. Jay's my boy. Jay's my boy. I love Jay.
That's great. Who would win, though, if you guys...
In a fight?
Yeah.
You might have to ask Jay that. I think I have a little more experience.
What about you and Rogan?
That's a very different story. Rogan's black belt in jiu-jitsu. I stopped training
a
long time ago.
Yeah.
Rhonda.
Yeah.
Back to you.
Hey.
Back to you, my queen. Hey, thanks for hogging. I give her that amazing introduction. You don't even blow any horns or bugles or play any drums. You're like, anyway.
No, he's the anti-compliment. If I get a compliment out of him, it's got to be a special day. So.
That's male-female dynamic.
Keep her on her toes.
Everyone
stole her compliment.
Yeah, I know. Keep her on her toes.
I'm going to be special today. Hey, what's up? Fuck you, bitch. No, you love me.
What goes on in your head on a daily basis? How do you manage all this stuff?
I don't know. I think the biggest pain in the ass is all the scheduling.
Yeah.
You know, and just coordinating everything, because there's so much going on all at once. Is like, people are constantly asking me, like, when are you doing this? What's the time for that? And like, I just don't know anything off the top of my head. It's so much.
Right.
You know, and that's the one hard part. So I just kind of had to set up like a whole team to like give everyone little tasks to like do and concentrate on, because I can't do all of it. So,
right.
You know, just... That's the hard part. Training part, like I train as much as I can because it's the one thing that keeps me from going nuts, I think.
What about the fact that you've always got to kind of keep evolving in the sport? It's got to be kind of like you don't know what the other person's up to, right?
No, but I'm really trying not to worry that too much about the other person. I try to think about bettering myself. I'm trying to make myself perfect, thinking about the other person.
Yeah.
Really, I can't do anything about it. It's like when you think, like, if someone's pitching, you know, the pitcher can only control the ball up until it, like, leaves his fingers.
Talking,
like,
talk,
how the actual
talk
guy
the
hits
mic.
The ball.
Thank sorry. You, Rhonda. Let's talk in the mic, Rhonda. Go on,
I'm
keep
sorry.
Going. America
that,
wants
I
to hear your
I
voice.
I had a voice for theater, and it would carry anywhere.
You okay. actually do, my darling. You do.
I was saying, like, whatever the other person's doing over there, you can't, like, control it or whatever.
Right.
So if I can't control what she's doing right now, and I'm not going to, you know, worry about it. I'm just going to worry about myself. I'm not going to be fighting for her until, like, the end of the year now.
Well, so in a way, you don't think – a lot of, like, being a winner on your level is learning what not to think about, right?
Yeah. You know, I guess you have to have, like, some sort of, like, mental control over yourself. Like, you know, I have so much lead-up time until this fight. If I obsess over the person for, you know, that many months, it's probably going to be, like, a detriment, you know? So, I mean, that's why I think an advantage that I kind of have over these girls is, like, they all are thinking about me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I only have to think about a new chick every couple of months, but they've all been concentrating on me for years or months. I don't know how long. But
yeah.
I think that's the worst thing that you could do is obsess on one person, because then when you finally get in that moment, it doesn't seem real.
Yeah, it's a lot. It becomes a mountain.
Yeah, it makes it less casual. Like, you have to be somewhat casual with it. You have to feel like, oh, this is the place where I'm used to being, and I'm in the cage with this person, and that's cool, and this is what I do every day. Not like, oh my God, the moment is finally here. That's that person. Oh my God, you know, because that'll just psych you out. So that's what you kind of have to avoid.
Well, that's always what I've always been fascinated by, is the ability and how to manage your mindset all the time. It's really easy to allow, you know, pressures and how other people define you, etc., to get in the way of what you're trying to accomplish.
You always say don't be defined by it. What do you say?
Well, I say that I think when people compliment you, it can be just as detrimental sometimes as when they criticize you, in the sense that they are defining you. So if somebody says you're a knockout artist,
yeah, exactly,
and you start believing you're a knockout artist, you're going to go in there trying to knock the guy out instead of trying to fight the fight in front of you. And I'm being metaphorical here, because life is that way. I think to be an effective human being at what you try to do, you've got a great deal of it has to be reaction in the moment, reaction to the truth of the situation. And that's kind of why, for me, I think what I love about fighting so much is it's such an honest expression, and it requires all of that. You can't be, yes, you can game plan, but when somebody's trying to punch you in the face at lightning speed, all that shit goes, you've got to be reacting honestly and reacting, you know, but controlling yourself to the nth degree. And I think that's what I love about, no amount of hype, no amount of coaching, nothing is going to help you in that moment. And I think that's what I love about fighting. It's such a raw expression of competition.
Yeah, like, it reveals a lot about every person. That's why I like amateur fights. Like, when people have their first amateur fight, like, there's just so much of themselves being revealed to them in that second, because you can't prepare for anything for it at all. And so you'll see people come out there, and they'll start swinging, or they'll like, fall into, like, a fetal position, or they'll, like, you know, they'll look, like, amazing. Or, I don't know, you'll never know. You'll never know, like, how that person will react to that right then, because you're right. Regardless of how much you can prepare, there's nothing you can do to recreate that.
Yeah, people go to their safe place. You see it in the UFC even. When they get hurt, they go, if they're wrestlers first, they go to wrestling. They'll go to, you know, if they're strikers, they'll, you know, you see that a lot, where the minute the chips are down, they'll start going to their happy place.
Well, I think fighting's different than any other sport, because let's say you kind of went through a half-ass camp or something like that. There's nothing you do in the octagon where it's going to be exposed 100%.
Yeah.
But in football or basketball, you can hang back a little bit. You can get away with it. Baseball, you have a bad night, or you're just not feeling good, you can get away with it. Fighting, you're going to get exposed, and everyone's going to see it.
Well, that's what I think. That's exactly right, because you're kind of naked, literally, in a ring, and somebody else is trying to really hurt you, and it's just you, right?
I mean, yeah, and it's not just like something like tennis, where it's just you and you lose. You don't just lose, but you get the shit kicked out of you, too. I mean, it's kind of like, it is like the most... I don't know. It's like, I don't, pure is not a, is a weird word, but Yeah, I think it's the hardest thing you could possibly do.
But what's amazing about you, Ron, that I love is that you've been able to kind of manage this really cool, sexy, feminine image as well as being this complete badass. And that's what I find so interesting. You're so photogenic and telegenic, and you know, every one of my friends thinks, every one of my friends thinks you're hot as shit, including me. Yay. Including me. All of us. My buddy saw you and he goes, "Dude, I saw Ronda Rousey today." And when I had to do stand up, I'm telling you this, I don't get nervous over anybody. Nobody in my life, especially now. I've performed for everybody. She's in the audience. I was having trouble breathing.
Horrible,
was,
like, horrible show,
dude.
Horrible,
bad show.
Horrible.
Now I was trying a bunch of new stuff. By the way, still did okay.
I
know, but
it was good.
The point is that I was like, all right, I'm just going to try a bunch of new stuff. I'm not going to change. But I was having trouble. I was like, I almost went into my, you know, as a comic, you have your go-to stuff. I was like, nope, I'm going to stay. But I was nervous. Like I was literally like, Ronda Rousey. You know, and you have this incredible smile and laugh, and so there's this, you've kind of seduced all the sports fans, which I find amazing. Yet you're a fucking killer.
Well, you know what she is, and this is why I tell her, and I tell other people, she's like an X-Men. She's an X-Men.
Dude,
you should see her family too. Her mom,
really?
Beast. Yeah.
Well, your mother was an Olympic world champion, right?
Well, they didn't have women's judo in the Olympics then, so okay. she won the world championships. She's the first American to do that. But Jesus. She did that. She got a perfect score on the SAT. She got her PhD. She like
God.
Started a multi-million-dollar business from scratch.
What'd your dad do?
My stepdad's a rocket scientist.
so your examples were these people were such high performing, high caliber people. So you grew up around a very high bar.
Yeah. Like you were expected. It wasn't one of those like you're the first kid in our family to go to college. Like everyone got PhDs or master's degrees or something like that. Like I was like the black sheep loser fuck up. For a long time because I didn't have any work experience or education. And when I started doing this MMA stuff, everyone's like, you're the stupidest fucking idiot that ever happened. Go to USC. Your mom works at USC. Fucking go to college.
What does your mom teach?
Statistics.
Wow.
Well, she wasn't teaching there. She was a senior statistical consultant. So whenever the statistics professors could not answer a question, it was her job to figure it out.
And her mom's ripped with like a six pack.
She doesn't do shit.
Yeah. Jesus.
She will like just sit down at the computer and like, I was an 8 pound baby. She gained 12 pounds. I swear to God, she probably had me and went for a jog. Like she probably just didn't even break a stride.
And is she Venezuelan? I think you said you were half Venezuelan.
Yeah, she's Venezuelan. We used to always make this joke that like, because my mom has these stories like, back in my day, I used to do this and used to do that. And like, yeah, I gave birth on the mat, and I choked the bitch out with the umbilical cord, and then I slapped her, and then she thanked me for it, and then I went home, and I made a fucking bunch of money up in this, you know, like, she's just so over the top. She is an X-Men. Like, he calls me an X-Men, my mom is, like, Professor X.
Who are the people, obviously your mother was one of the people that were your heroes, the people that you looked up to and tried to emulate. Who else? And is that important? How important is it to have people in your mind that you have to, that, you know, heroes or people you look up to?
It is important just because it's important to see what's possible for you. You know, you don't entertain possibilities until you think that they're realistic. And so, you know, my mom was a world champion. She just walks through the living room. I just thought, oh, I'm going to go do that. Everyone in my family had, you know, PhDs and degrees. They're like, oh, of course I can go get it.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like, oh, who am I to think that I could do this? I'm like, well, it's in the living room. It's not like...
Yeah, there's that thing where Roger Bannister, who broke the 4-minute mile, and everybody said it was physiologically impossible. And a year after he did it, I think 4 other people did it. Yeah. Once they could see it and conceive of it, they did it, you know?
Yeah, it's just, it's hard being the first one that has no example.
Yeah. Yeah, and you had examples.
Yeah.
Do you remember the moment, though, Ronda, where you became... in your mind, a professional over versus an amateur, where you had such command over your life and your expression, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, this is kind of stupid, which is kind of why I have such a weird thing for glasses. Cause I pinched like every penny for so long. I would never buy gum, you know, like there was no impulse buys in my life for the longest time. And, I forget which fight it was. I think it was like after the Misha fight, after I originally won my belt, and I went to some store And I bought this pair of glasses for $300 and they didn't do jack shit. I got 20/20 vision, man. And I was like, I just want those because they're pretty. And like, it was my first like real impulse buy, you know? And it was like just something cool and liberating feeling because of all the shit that had gone down. And like, if you've ever been sitting in the drive through of McDonald's and have them turn you away because you realize that you don't even have change in your car and your fucking account's overdrawn.
Yeah.
You know, that moment where I'm like, I want to spend $300 like on that and I don't even fucking need it. Like,
right.
Like of all the parking tickets that I cried over, like I cried over parking tickets. Like, I can't do it. Why? You know, like that was the moment where I was like, hey, like everything's cool. You're a professional now. Everything's all right. You can buy yourself shit you don't need.
That isn't that funny? It's so amazing. It's because I think money on that level kind of represents a form of freedom. I mean, you don't have to worry.
What's weird to me is when you're coming up, like, you know, geese or shoes or you name it, you'd have to pay, you know, crazy amount of money, mm-hmm. for it. Gloves, training gear. Now you get it for free. When you can afford it is when, right. people want to give it to you for free.
Exactly.
It's weird. Yeah. It's like, where were you 5 years ago,
exactly.
man?
Hearing free shit now.
Yeah.
That's the great irony.
It's so weird.
It's the great irony.
So weird.
But do you think so hunger, you know, in that sense of the word is a very important to, you know, a lot of rich people I know talk about this thing called, they call the handicap of wealth, because they got to raise their children with a sense of value and also a sense of hunger. Mm. But when you've got everything you need and you feel really safe, it's really hard to instill that, you know?
I mean, my mom just did once. She was like, after high school, I'm paying for 4 years of college. Anything after that, it's all fucking up to you. So we were like, she put us under pressure, like, okay, if I don't go to college, then I'm going to be cut off. And if I do go to college, I only got 4 years to make it happen, then I'm going to get cut off. So she, right. like, put like a deadline on us, like, hey, you're going to have to grow up by either 18 or 22. Pick one.
Right. Right. Well, in a way, it sounds like there was a method to her madness, man. Yeah, I mean, if I don't say so myself, it seemed to have worked out pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. It's she has a PhD in educational psychology and is a world champion in judo. So
Jesus.
Her little moldy like creation thing. I think that she was like, she was the expert in every single area you had to be an expert in to like make one of.
Oh, make a Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, I don't even like. What do you? I was like, I don't even, couldn't even think of a category. I was thinking of something general. I was like, make a me.
But
know.
That's very interesting. Well, champion. It's called make a champion. It's called the chemical. She's an alchemist. She created gold. That's how I like to. She knows how to spin gold. Yeah. She's an alchemist. But I'm being serious about that. It seems like, and that brings me to the next thing. What do you, without giving away your secrets, what do you use to keep yourself in a champion's mindset? And what is a champion's mindset?
I think is that dissatisfaction that you're talking about, the hunger thing. As long as you're dissatisfied, then you still have something to work for. It's once you reach that state of contentment is when it's hard for you to get up out of bed and do anything like that, you know? So, I don't know. I just feel like the day that I don't feel like going to train is the day that I'm done.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you ever think about what you'll be doing in 10 years, if not fighting?
I don't even know what I'm doing next week.
Mm. Do you set goals?
I set general long-term goals and specific short-term goals.
And specific short-term goals.
Yeah, because the longer, you know, ahead of time it is, the more likely, the more room there is for error. So
yeah.
The more vague your plan should be.
Right. So when in other words, the short-term goal would be just to win your next fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, win next fight and then, you know, do well on tough or something like that. And then, I don't know, some other stuff.
How'd you get rowdy?
Rowdy in general or rowdy as a name?
No. How'd you get rowdy? You're just jumping around all over the place. Rowdy as a name.
If anyone doesn't know, I've been shadowboxing for this entire interview.
Exactly. Exactly.
I got it from, well, first it was just the first thing that everyone thought of. Mm. You know, I was like, I should get fighting. What about Rowdy? You know, and then we're like, I was like, no, Rowdy Piper already has that name.
Right.
And they're like, oh, yeah, you're right. And then,
Rowdy,
Hot Rod, man.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
It's such a cute name. As fierce as you are, you're so goddamn cute. Like, you're so, you know. Speaking of cute, by the way, if anybody's listening, I've renamed Brendan. What is your fight nom de guerre? Because I call you Big Brown. Brendan, Big Brown. Schaub. And I want to introduce, I wish I could be an announcer because I'd be really sexual. I'd be like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome and put your hands together for Mr. Brennan Big Brown Schaub.
I don't know if that's very marketable.
Why, dude? I'd whisper it.
I'd buy it.
Damn right. He's got
He's
got a tsunami for a back. His lower extremities belong on a horse. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for my boyfriend and yours, Brendan Big Brown Schaub. So I could do that all day now.
All day.
I'm trying to have this. I have like this opportunity to do Rhonda, and now I'm acting like an idiot. Anyway, back to us. That's really interesting to me. And you keep your goals somewhat short term, but how do you deal with like the fact that this is such a Spartan sport? We were talking about it before. I mean, I guess it's just when you don't have fun anymore and when the challenge is gone, like you said, you'll just quit.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just...
Do you want to go back to school maybe? Or
no.
No? Would you coach?
I feel like I'm obligated to coach just because so many people put so much time and energy into like putting that information into me.
Yeah.
That like it'd be an insult to them to not try and pass it on.
Right.
You know, and just let it die with me. That's not right. And
would you coach women or men?
Both. Why not?
Yeah.
Why do I have to pick one?
Yeah. How has been the transition, by the way, because we haven't seen your striking, but I hear it's very good. How has been the transition, like, because I know that the mind state, and correct me if I'm wrong, between a grappler and a striker can be a big jump sometimes.
Yeah, it is a big jump. So I kind of spent a little bit of time just focusing on striking a little bit so I wouldn't return so much to my happy place all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And, so I think that was like the biggest thing, much to my mother's discontent. She called me up. I don't see you doing any judo. I swear to God, she yelled at me for like 20 minutes this morning about not doing enough judo.
In your fights?
No, just in general, just in life. She's like, you're not doing any judo, which is like funny. I'm like, you thought this was a terrible idea. Now you're brimming full of advice.
That's
thanks,
so
Mom.
Funny.
Yeah.
You're not doing enough judo in your life.
You don't need any more judo. I'm like, okay. But where was I going with this?
What about striking?
Oh, yeah. I just like people to believe that my striking's terrible. Yeah. I never correct anyone. They say my striking's bad. I'm like, okay. But, I mean, if you think about it, like, not getting hit is striking, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. Controlling. I wonder, the other thing about what I've watched all your fights is that you are pretty overwhelming. And these women are athletes, and they're strong. Oh.
Real quick, how about if you're fighting Rhonda, you have one thing to worry about, right? All camp.
Don't get armbarred.
Do not get armbarred.
Right.
I bet these girls train that nonstop.
Nonstop. Every angle and
everything.
Right? I know.
They bring in these famous jiu-jitsu coaches not to get armbarred. And what happens?
Armbar.
Frustrating if you're that other girl.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's she kind of, you know, when I watch you, you feel... Like when I'm watching you through the TV, you feel stronger. You're so explosive. I don't know if it's just like they just you just kind of overwhelm them with you're just on them so quickly.
Oh, it's just I don't know. Olympic judo is different. It's just there's really fast short exchanges and they stand you up. You go really, really fast and they stand you up. Mm. So like the pace that I'm used to going at is like I pretty much have to go as fast as I can. For like 10 minutes straight, possibly, if it goes.
Not to mention, while these other girls were doing whatever, swimming or playing with dolls or whatever, she was probably tossed around dudes in her diapers. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's true.
So she grew up competing.
Yeah.
Which is a huge advantage, I think.
I just happened to have like all the right tools at all the right time. You know, like before it was cool. Like I'm going hipster right now. Before it was cool.
Yeah.
Weren't you the girl in high school with cauliflower?
I had cauliflower ear.
Let me see your ears. I don't see any cauliflower.
Right here.
Adorable. Adorable. She's got cauliflower. I never thought I'd find that cauliflower ear attractive.
Oh, yeah.
That's
well,
so hilarious.
Try being 16 with a big swollen ear.
Oh, God.
I would have been a friend.
No.
I'm just kidding. She could, I mean,
It would have been too cool for me. His whole high school experience was a fucking Varsity Blues spinoff, like teenage teeny boppy movie perfection fucking reel.
Yeah, well,
you bet your ass.
It's so true. It's so true. He's you know six. I'm 6'5" and handsome as shit, and I play professional football. I'm in Denver. I'm dark as shit, yet I'm German. I'm Brendan Schaub.
I can't get any luck with the ladies.
Yeah, girls hate him. Girls hate him. It's funny when I walk around with him, and we'll be at a bar, and they're like, "Oh, who's the guy you won over there? Is that guy have rickets? Get that guy some calcium."
And then they're he gets Make a Wish.
Exactly. Like he's my sickly friend. yeah, it's well. Listen, you know that's the funny thing is that. Yeah, most successful people started out kind of unpopular because they were busy trying to get successful and they were building a skill. You know, nobody expects you when you're really good at judo to be, you know. I mean, MMA is such a recent new sport.
Yeah.
It's a different animal.
Yeah.
The reason it's a different animal, there's no set path on how to get there right now. In football, you go, you know, high school, you do well, you get recruited to play in college, you get a scholarship, you do well in college, you get drafted, you play in the pros.
Right.
There's a blueprint.
Yeah, there's a blueprint. To get to UFC, there's a million different routes. Everyone's route's different.
Yeah, it's so insanely competitive. And very few people are making enough money. It's just a very tough... I mean, I follow it as closely as a layman can. And it's just... You know, especially when you get to know fighters, you worry about them. And, you know, it's just a very... But that brings me back to the fact that you are a groundbreaker. I mean, you are the first woman in the UFC. And certainly... I mean, I don't know of any other example. The first fighter, female fighter, that is a huge draw.
I think Leila Ali did.
No,
well.
She was not. I'm sorry, she was not. Ronda
Leila
Rousey.
Ali, that's the name you threw out.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm just trying to.
They tried.
Like 13.
Yeah, they tried. But no, Layla. The answer is Layla.
You know,
Layla.
13 people bought it.
They called all 13 to thank him. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't think it did well.
But. All due respect to Layla Ali. No, that's the thing. And you generated, and this fight generated as much excitement as any guy. That is fascinating to me. And by the way, it has to do with you. It doesn't necessarily have to do with timing. You came along, and somehow you have been able to do that. And it's a lot of things. It's the example you set. It's your confidence. It's the things you say. It's the way you fight. It's the way you look. You know, it's all those things. And that to me is just, it's just so exciting. I mean, I was talking to Joe Rogan about it, the same thing. I mean, when Joe said it was an honor to call your fight.
Dude, you have no idea how many times I like watched fights and like, had Joe Rogan. It didn't become real to me until I actually watched on TV and like heard his commentary.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, like that's fucking, it's fucking insane. Like you don't even realize like the kind of people that I was watching for like years and years and being like, I want to do that. And everyone's like, you're a fucking idiot. And then like to hear you even like say that, like you don't understand. Like Joe Rogan was my first Twitter freak out. Like, yes, when Joe Rogan followed me and tweeted at me, I fucking screamed and ran around my fucking... Oh, I tried running around my house. It was a fucking mess. So I kind of skipped and hopped over things. But I moved around a little bit in excitement.
You've got to watch... You have got to watch our... I'll do a plug because Joe and I went hunting. And we have two episodes on the Sportsman Channel on a show called Meat Eater. And we went and hunted deer. And it was really funny, and we had a blast. So you'll see Joe in a different light. We had a blast. It was really fun. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to plug my stand-up dates. I'll be in Edmonton April 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, Edmonton, Alberta. Beautiful Edmonton. And then I'll be in West Palm Beach May 10th, 11th, and 12th. Just check my website, briancallen.com, everybody. Hold on. Let's give them a second. They're in droves. They're running. And we're back. Has there been a book that you've read that kind of just maybe was a game changer or was a huge influence on you? Has there been a thinker who is not a sportsman that had a big influence on you?
Yeah, there was one book. It was Ender's Game.
Oh, really?
Ender's Game. Because like when I first started doing judo, I was like, I was fucking Neo, man. They're like, you're going to be the one. You're going to win the Olympics. You're going to do it. And there were all these like outside people trying to fucking get their input and fucking manipulate and do all their fucking other little things. And in Ender's Game, this kid is like identified as like the young genius that's going to save the human race from these fucking aliens and shit. And they're trying to train him to be like the best commander ever. And there's just all these outside people fucking with him in all these different ways to try and make him as brilliant as possible. And then at the end, like, I don't want to fucking ruin it, but it's fucking, I don't know. It changed the way that I thought at that time.
How old were you when you read it?
I think it was 14.
So it sounds to me, Ronda Rousey, like you always, in a way, felt, if not special, you felt responsible or a responsibility to be special.
Yeah, always. Always felt like that.
Really?
Always.
Do you remember when that happened and how old you were?
It was just drilled in my head from my mom and dad. They were just like, me and all my sisters, they're just like, you're meant to do something brilliant, special, extraordinary. You're not normal. Like, I just expected as a kid that, like, of course I'm going to be super, like, successful and, you know, educated and rich and something. Yeah, I always thought I was going to be brilliant. And, like, I had so many bad, like, speech problems and, like, I didn't barely talk and all this stuff, and I never knew that I had a problem. I found out like years after, like I'd gone through speech therapy and like had resolved it and everything, that that it was really that bad because my mom and dad just did not allow me to feel at least a bit of a disadvantage. I always felt like, hell yeah, I'm gonna fucking own this shit when I grow up. And yeah. I always felt like that. Even though I was having all these problems, I didn't even know it.
I heard an interview with you where you said that adversity is something that you've learned to kind of go, wow, this is bad right now. I wonder what and I'm paraphrasing, but it's like the shit's bad right now. But I wonder something good is going to come out of this, right? I mean, do you look at things that way?
Yeah.
I think you said something like that.
No, everything definitely does happen for a reason. From all the worst things that have happened in my life, all the best things that might happen in my life have resulted from, you know? So.
Yeah, that great saying is sort of like the Buddhist would say, it takes shit to make a flower, right? The deepest, the brightest. Well, the brightest lotus flower comes from the deepest mud. Dude,
yeah.
I'll drop Buddhism on you. Yeah, don't you understand that, Bren? yeah. Yeah. It's funny when I talk to successful people and how many through lines there are, how many sort of truisms and principles there are to success. And so much of it has...
I like that.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in eons.
I used the word eon and Rhonda liked it.
I just said I don't use it enough, so I was going to drop it a couple times a day.
There are certain words I love, and then there are certain words... Like, I like the word ratchet, and I like racket, and I think... And I don't like things like... Here are the words I don't like. I don't like broth.
It seems like you like words that begin in rar. Like,
yeah.
Ravenous.
Ravenous is a great
word.
Ravenous is a great word. I want to ravish.
What about ravage?
Ravage is even better. Ravage. You know Ronda Rousey, one glance at her, you want to ravage her. But be careful. She will break your fucking arm. Why do I get creepy with my voice?
Holy, I'm getting my arm's tired.
Ronda's arm is tired. Ronda's tired from holding the mic. We're going to wrap this up soon. It's only 32 minutes, but we keep, you know, this is not, we don't have a lot of time. Ronda Rousey is very busy. What was I going to ask you? So Ender's Game, anything else? Any other
books?
Yeah.
You're putting me on the spot here.
That's okay.
That's like,
all right. Don't
like
worry.
A really influential book.
Well, let's put it this way. That's the thing. I mean, does it ever get frustrating? Because to try to be the best in the world at something, which is what you are, it takes everything. I mean, you know that from being an Olympian. I would imagine the training is so overwhelming that you've got to kind of pick your spots and you've got to decide what it is what you focus on, right?
Kind of. I mean, I always wanted to focus just on one thing, but I was from the house where you're expected to do everything all at once, you know? So
right.
That was like a big battle I kind of had with my mom for a long time, was I wanted to focus just on judo or just on MMA. And she's like, no, you're supposed to do that. And you're supposed to have a job and you're supposed to be getting a degree, you know, and all these other things. So it's just kind of like, I don't know.
What kind of job did you went to college? Or
I dabbled in community college. I dropped out of high school sophomore year.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Just because of training.
I just wasn't meant for a desk. I wasn't willing to be miserable for 8 years or 12 years to get a job that I was okay with. And being, you know, there wasn't any profession that I could think of that I thought was worth that amount of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
Yeah, it's just.
Did you surf being growing up in Venice?
Not so much because I didn't. I grew up on 7th Street.
Right.
So it was a long walk with a surfboard.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I was lazy.
Seven blocks. Yeah, you're real lazy. No. Training.
Well, surfboards are big. You know, like bodyboards, boogie boards, and skim boards are tiny. Right. You can take them around. I never had a truck.
Right. Well, it's interesting, man. I just think there's a lot to learn from that. I don't think you can be the best, and certainly not on your level, and dissipate your energy. You know, I really don't. I think, and by the way, maybe I'm just older than you are, but I really believe you seem so well-rounded, and I think you are well-rounded. And I think that when you focus on one thing exclusively, in a lot of ways, you learn everything. You know, you certainly learn about life, and you certainly learn about yourself. I think you strike me as someone, and Brendan, you're the same way, but because you and I have talked a lot, but you strike me as somebody who has a great deal of command over themselves because you know yourself very well.
Yeah, I mean, everything, you just have to make your mind up. Like, it's, I don't know. It was like a revelation to me was actually this one story, which I've told the story a billion times, but I'll tell it again. So imagine you're in a job that you fucking can't stand, and you work with people you fucking can't stand, your boss is a dick, and your fucking, the office is always too cold, and it's just, it sucks there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, every day, single day of your life, if I could.
Brandon was holding.
He was holding
the mic. Yeah.
But in 5 minutes, you get to leave to the fucking vacation that you've been saving all your vacation time for years working this shit job. You're going to fucking Bora Bora. It's going to be fucking amazing. And you leave in 5 minutes. How do you feel?
Good.
You feel pretty good,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, imagine that you're on this beach in the sunshine, you got a drink in your hand, and you met all these really cool people, and you're probably never gonna see them again, and you're gonna have to get back on that plane, and you're gonna have to jump over and go back to that job, and you're not gonna get another vacation time for 10 years, and you're leaving in 5 minutes. How would you feel?
Shitty.
So why are you feeling fabulous at your shitty job that you can't stand, and feeling shitty on the beach in the sun with people you like?
Right.
It's because you fucking decide all that shit. Like, everything's just a decision. You know, you can totally control how you feel regardless of what your environment is, because your environment doesn't relate to how you're feeling. And so I just kind of, once I heard that story, that, like, it changed my mind, because someone was saying, like, I was like, no, cause it's not that easy. Like, no, it is that easy. Just make your fucking mind up. You know, like, cutting weight, it's not that hard. You don't have to argue with yourself over a muffin. Is that muffin fucking important? Is it important enough to get punched in the face extra? No.
Yeah, right. Yeah, take a latte right now.
Brendan's like that Cheetos commercial. I'll take a slap per Cheeto right now.
well, you know, you are an example. I would you say that women, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you are an example to a lot of women. I mean, do you think women in this country and all over the world focus on the wrong things? Do you think that, I mean, is there something that you would, how would you raise your daughter if you had a daughter? Would you raise her differently than you were raised?
I would definitely put her in sports. I think that, like what you were saying, like focusing on one thing, I really think that sports are like a metaphor for life, and like a lot of lessons that I applied elsewhere, I learned through judo.
Mm.
So whatever sport is going to be, they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to be committed to something. I just want my kids to be passionate and not just to be like content with nothing and just stuff. I think that's one thing that a lot of girls are kind of growing up with the wrong impression of, is they'd be happy just to sit around and just have stuff.
I see that all the time. Yeah. The Kardashian, so yeah, the Kardashian syndrome. I see that a lot, Rhonda. That's kind of one of the things I so much appreciate about you, is I really see that women in some ways in this culture are expected to do less, and they get away with more in that sense. They think they can get away with, because not as much pressure is put on accomplishment and things. And maybe some of it is just women are interested in different things in some ways, but it does seem that a lot of women, or there isn't the expectation on women to accomplish, you know, sometimes it can be frowned upon. Would you say that? Or?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's in a lot of cultures though.
Yeah.
It's a shame. So I just do not participate in that way of thinking.
Yeah. I love that. Finally, is there somebody, who's your favorite person to watch in the UFC?
Brendan Schaub.
Brendan Schaub, ladies and gentlemen. Who's your second favorite person to watch?
My second favorite better question
is there someone you model your fighting that you'd like to model your style?
Oh, I'm definitely model myself after Fedor, for sure.
Oh, wow.
But he's not in the UFC.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's true.
Brendan's going, dang. Dang.
Well, I love Fedor. I love how he fights, man.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. But to watch in the UFC, I'd probably say Nick Diaz. Love him. You can't not.
I just love Nick Diaz as a person. I don't know him, but he to me is the purest fighter in the world. Like, that dude will eat your jab, and even if you're good at something, who was it? John Daly or whatever his name is. Who, I mean, they stay away.
Cyborg like leg kicked the shit out of him, and he was just like, "Fuck it,
dude." He doesn't get it. If you say, "Watch out for that guy's left hook," Nick will eat that left hook and come back with his own left hook, even though he doesn't.
He's got a God given chin, that guy.
Yeah, and he will stand there and fight you. It's almost like when you watch George St. Pierre, who's great. He's so strategic about his fighting, and he'll do what he has to win. And if that means wrestle you, he'll do that. If it means punch you, and it's very smart. It seems to me Nick is going, I'm going to go in there and fight you. There's a little bit of a difference.
GSP goes in there to win matches, and Nick goes in there to try and fuck the other guy up.
Yeah.
If he ends up winning, then that's awesome.
Yes. What?
George's approach.
Well, yeah, George. I love Nick Diaz. I mean, I respect all those guys, of course. But
oh no, I respect them. I'm not saying I respect George as an athlete and as a businessman, but as a fighter, the guy doesn't fight. He wins matches.
Right.
He doesn't come into fight. He comes in to win.
There's a big difference.
There's a huge difference.
There is a big difference. Brennan disagrees, so we may have an argument here.
Let's hear it.
Come on in, because I happen to agree with Rhonda, and I know. Rhonda could be like,
if Brian's allergic to bananas. Rhonda's like, I love bananas. I love them too.
Rhonda.
You just told me you hate bananas.
Well, Rhonda could be like, I think we should kill people. I'd be like, me too. I think we should kill people too.
I agree with that. That sounds fantastic.
Anything Rhonda says, I agree with. So
what? I'm just saying, I don't think, I mean, yeah, George is more, and I don't get me wrong, I love the Diazes. They are fantastic. It has nothing to do with them. But I think George is what the UFC is going to become and where it's headed. You're getting real athletes involved in the sport. And if you have a weakness, he's going to expose it. Now people are saying, oh, but he's not knocking guys out. He's not submitting guys. He's trying, man. It's these game plans. Nick couldn't wrestle, right? Nick couldn't wrestle. So yeah, all he did is take Nick down.
But then again, Brennan.
That's not trying to fuck somebody up as much as you can.
He took him down and ground and pounded him. It just happens. Nick, you gotta, and this is the other thing. He's not fighting Billy, who just got off work at Starbucks. He's fighting the best of the best in the world who are very good at avoiding getting finished.
Yes,
when's the last time Nathan?
But Brennan,
when's the last time when Diaz got finished?
But that's true. But you're right. But it seems to me that when you use your wrestling to control someone as opposed to try to knock them out the way Nick Diaz does, it makes for not as exciting a fight. I would say Nick Diaz in a lot of ways has had more exciting fights than George, and I think that might be just from a spectator's point of view. It may be smarter to fight that way, but certainly for a fan, when I watch Anderson Silva, for example, Anderson finishes all his fights. Now that's because he's a prodigy and he's a freak and he's incredible. I think he's finished every fight he's had.
Damian Maia, Thousleides, that's whatever though.
But did you see what he did to Damian Maia? I mean, that was, you know, he could have
saying.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Don't argue. Hey, Brendan, don't argue with me about fighting.
I'm just saying that there's a difference between trying to defeat the person so they never want to fucking see you again and that they wish that never happened, or just trying to win the majority of the rounds.
I love Rhonda. I love Rhonda. You're so, like, Rhonda Rousey, this is what I love about you. You're so beautiful. It's beautiful smile. Then she goes into like killer mode.
I'm different. I'm all about the killer mode. All that's a great. Yeah. But if you want the sport to evolve, there has to be a blueprint. There has to be strategy. There has to be real athletes. And you're going to get guys like George, like some of these other guys that we've talked about, who are that good of an athlete and are fighters. But for now on, you know, there's a lot of guys, they could not go professional in any other sport.
Right.
They're fighters, sure. But if they want to make money doing anything athletic, they could not do it.
Let me ask you this.
George could.
Let me ask you this, and this is what Nick says. What if they chose to go back to Pride rules? would that be a bad thing for the UFC? And what I mean by pride rules is that you can't hold people down. You got to get up and bang. You know, there's, I mean, in other words,
because people don't understand grappling and jiu-jitsu and wrestling. I don't, if you want to just see Rock'em Sock'em Robots, man, I think K1's on, I don't know, twice a year.
Yeah. I don't think that standing people up more is a good thing. I mean, and people really abuse it. Like when I was doing judo, they abused the fuck out of it. Like as soon as I was about to catch somebody, they would stand me up all the time. They would give me 2 seconds, 1 second, less than a second.
Really?
That's why I'm so fucking fast, because they were bitches about it. Yeah, so like once you start trying to whittle it down to make it more entertaining, then you're gonna start fucking with it too much.
And like in my last fight with LeVar, it takes two to tango. All he would do is hold on.
Right.
What's tough to advance or do anything if they're just hanging on? So people get mad and they boo. But man, you're trying. There's a game plan imposed. I wasn't planning on him hanging on and holding on for dear life, hoping we get stood back up, just to get taken down again.
Gotcha. Huh. Yeah, I think that one of the things that if you grapple, if you do any wrestling and jiu-jitsu, like the crowd boos because when I see two guys on the ground, I'm watching just as closely because there's so much technique. There's so much technique with two good grapplers trying to win position. You know?
The problem is you get some people that are athletes and some people that are fighters, and he says that the sport is evolving, which is true. Yeah, yeah, you need to get
both. Some
people
are athletes and fighters.
Brendan, stop pointing at yourself. What the heck?
No, but it's like it's the guys that are fighters really can't bitch that much that they weren't prepared enough to deal with people that were fighting like pussies. You have to be a good enough of a fighter to deal with pussy fighting. You know, that's how I lost the fucking world championship finals. That's how I fucking lost a bunch of other things. It was girls fighting like pussies, and yeah, they fight like pussies, and I was pissed about it. But you know what? I should have been good enough to beat a pussy.
Wow, that's interesting. Point.
Back to your rule, the pride rules. You want to talk about the sport going mainstream? You can't have people getting soccer kicked in the face and expect to be on Fox.
That's true,
it's,
dude.
It's people look at it now, and it's brutal as it is.
Yeah,
and it's really not. They just need to be more informed about it. But you let people start teeing off to your face and throwing kicks to the
knees to the head.
I think what you really need to do is try and aim for the full acceptance of it, and then you can start bringing things back in. Like they were talking about. Once MMA is kind of more settled in the whole Fox thing and FX thing, that they can start getting rid of the whole, like, only one finger on the ground, not needing the head, and it has to be, like, two hands. Mm-hmm. But they can't do it yet, you know? It hasn't got to the point where the sport's safe. It's not in its safe zone. Like, you know, football's in its safe zone. They can fucking change the rules around and be like, oh, you know what? We're going to divide it into 15-yard increments or something. I don't know. But it's established. They can fuck around with the rules now. The UFC is not established to the point where they can fuck around with it too much.
What do you think makes Anderson Silva such a winner? You're such a winner, okay? And Silva has gone through everybody he fights, and great, big, amazing fighters. I mean, everybody from Stephen Bonner to all those guys. How does he do it so easily? What do you think it is?
He's got vision and footwork and timing and all these little things that all these other guys swinging for the fences don't have.
Because he's been doing it longer? Or?
He's just fucking talented, man. He just has it. You can't teach vision, and he has it. He has the rhythm. He has the vision. He has the feeling of distance that all these other guys don't have, and it's those hits that you don't expect that that knock you out. And he's too smart and too clever and too quick for them. That's what I think.
Mm. How much of it has to do with Blackhouse?
I think that he would be brilliant anywhere.
Yeah, I think he could train in my living room for all his fights, and it'd still be just as great.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be at your best with your own team and the people that you're comfortable with. But, I mean, if he, you know, grew up in Wisconsin and did some other sport, he would be fucking fantastic at that, too.
Do you think that he would beat John Jones?
Yeah, I think that Anderson Silva is the best fighter in the UFC. I think that, and if anyone says that GSP would beat him, they're an idiot.
Yeah, well,
then I'm an idiot. Because
you're an idiot.
Yeah, because then I'm an idiot because they would build it as the greatest fight in UFC history, and George would, what you said, being athletic, being stupid, whatever, being boring. He would take him down for 5 rounds, control him, and win in a decision.
No, he would not.
I think
Anderson Silva's fucking feeling of distance and timing is so much better that GSP's fucking, I'm going to jab and go for a double bullshit. He's not going to fall for that.
Oh, you mean like when he fought Chael Sonnen the first time?
Yeah, but not the second time. Didn't work the second time. Worked
he
the first round.
He had a broken rib the first time.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but still. I'm just telling you, I think George would be a ham for him. John Jones is a different story. I think, yeah.
I think
Anderson's the most talented champ we have, for sure. But I think just styles make fights, and George, stylistically, would beat Anderson.
Isn't Anderson much bigger than George? Isn't he a bigger frame guy than George, Anderson Silva?
Taller, yeah, he's way bigger.
Hmm. And faster, probably, and better skilled, more skilled fighter, isn't
no,
he?
No, not faster.
No?
Mm-mm. More skilled, more tools in his toolbox, sure, with his kicks and all.
And yet you think GSP would beat Anderson Silva?
I do. You take
I don't
down.
Know that GSP would agree with you.
I think that Anderson Silva is just the fucking god mode in any video game. Like, he just can't fuck with it. That's
He's like the
I
Matrix,
think.
Man.
He is the Matrix.
I agree. I love Anderson Silva. Don't get it twisted. I love Anderson Silva.
Really? Because it sounds like you want to fucking make out with GSP all evening.
Yeah, why don't you go date GSP, Brennan? You couple two really good-looking, smooth guys. I mean, I'm straight, but I'm just saying. All of a sudden, yeah.
To me, I just don't get why people hate on GSP. Like, this is ridiculous. He doesn't finish fight. He's fighting at the highest level. Oh, and yeah, I would switch bank accounts with him any day of the year.
Well,
you know,
it brings.
You want to talk about pros? Yeah. Oh, and he's in the new Captain America. Just saying. I'm sorry. Is Anderson or John in the new Captain America?
No, listen. Nobody's
That's
saying.
Weird.
No, I'm not
oh,
saying.
Oh, he's sponsored by Under Armour, too. It's crazy.
I'm not saying that GSP.
I'm not saying that he's broke or stupid. I said that he's a great businessman and he was a great athlete. I'm just saying that
he's
when.
He's a great fighter.
And a great champion. You know, there's no doubt that he's won everybody. He's beaten everybody who's been put in his way. No question. You can't take that away from him. It kind of goes back to, like, Floyd Mayweather being a great defensive fighter, and he's going to retire with $100 million. He's going to retire with $100 million in the bank with no trauma to his head.
It's people's styles, though.
Yeah, and there are people that are very exciting fighters that are eating out of a straw when they're 35. And so some people beat the game of boxing. It really becomes a debate about. But the difference is that from what I've seen, Floyd Mayweather knocks dudes out at the end of the day, even though he's a very defensive, elusive guy.
Sometimes.
For the most part, in the seventh round, he's coming back and knocking you out. So,
especially if you're not looking and you try hugging him like homeboy on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, Victor Ortiz. Yeah.
Oh, God, that was crazy.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I
man,
know.
I kind of
know.
God damn, I was supposed to say something.
Else. Yeah, we were talking about just
you guys were
difference.
Hating on
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
No, we were not.
You know what he is that he doesn't have is fucking cruel intentions. Like, he's not in there to hurt the person.
Look at you, Ronnie. How do you get that though? Because you do. You go in there. It's actually scary. You go in, and I can see it. I'm afraid for the other girl because, man, you do not like that person when you're going to fight them. You do want to hurt them. How do you get yourself into that mindset?
Like I said, how you can control how you feel, where the environment is. Well, I consider, like, if my little sister's life was on the line, I'm fucking invincible. No one's going to fucking touch me. You know, I will turn into fucking She-Hulk and, like, I will lift a car off of that kid, you know?
Yeah.
Why can't I recreate that feeling all the time? Whenever I feel like, whenever it's useful to me.
Why do
I need my little sister be sitting there with a gun to her head? I can create that same feeling of need to win at any time.
When did that happen for you? When did you get command of that and how did you do it? I know you've answered the question to an extent, but when did that happen and how did you get to that point? And how can other people do that?
Like, when it got to be like that much, I think it was when I was forced to, like, really dip into that, it was in my first Olympics.
Really?
When I was 17.
You're talking about a level of self-mastery that most people don't reach or achieve. When you were 17, do you remember, though, how you did it? What was the mental mechanism that you tapped into?
I wasn't really aware that I was doing it so much. Like, it was just something that, like, my mom conditioned me to do. And so it just, like, it was just a natural way that like natural state of mind that I had to revert to. And I was only like consciously starting to do it when I was 19. Sometime after I heard that story I told you.
Mm. Just a question of winning. Just you're going to, no matter what, your end game, you're almost looking past the person to the other side. Is that kind of a fair assessment? Or
I'm just saying that if I think that I could kill anyone with my bare hands if my little sister's life depended on it, then why does her life have to depend on it?
Hmm.
I could do that anyway.
Hmm.
I could just decide to, like, put my mind in that same place.
In acting, we call that the magic if. You put yourself into a position like, what if I was in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like you're maybe going to be ready for a Hollywood career after this, ladies and gentlemen. She knows not just how to fight, but how to get herself emotionally into a position that...
But how could I ever top Captain America?
Yo, listen, man. You would be... You want to be Captain America, you know, we'll change it to a girl right now.
I get an idea. Why don't you two go grab some lattes and talk some smack about GSB? Not in my house.
Not in my house. Not in my house. I love him.
Don't bring up lattes.
Listen, man, you trained with GSP for a long time, and I know he's a friend
very
of yours.
Good friend,
and
yes.
I have nothing but respect for him.
No,
I've never
you
met
can't
him,
backtrack
but...
now.
I'm not saying.
You and Ron, when you leave here, be like, you believe that GSP grab?
No, I'm saying.
You getting a high five or something?
I gave him like 15 compliments and just said one thing, stuck on one thing.
He said
he's a great athlete, he's a great businessman, he's a great champion, he's just.
He's a great fighter. You threw that in there, I think.
I didn't throw that in there. Because
Have you seen his earlier stuff?
Wait, let her say that.
I was rooting for him to beat Matt Hughes. I was. Because I just moved to Montreal or something like that. And like I used to live in Chicago. And I was like, fuck Illinois. Go GSP. I was fucking loving him. And then it's just ever since that Matt Serra knockout, he's been fucking traumatized or something. And it's like just...
I know. It just keeps winning. It's really stupid.
No, it's just... You stop taking risks, and that's part of.
Brendan, wouldn't you say there's like, but wouldn't you say that there's a difference between a competitor and a fighter, or no?
The difference between a competitor and a fighter, for sure.
Okay.
A competitor has a game plan, weighs his options of riskiness and stuff.
So
like
GSP
that.
would be more in some ways maybe as a competitor than he would, even though he's a fighter, than he would be a fighter, or he's both. Obviously.
No,
he's both.
He's both because he has a game plan. He sticks to it. He just happens to be able to do it all, and these guys aren't.
Yeah.
Oh, he's fighting Johnny Hendricks. Oh, Johnny Hendricks is the best wrestler ever to embrace the UFC octagon. Oh, he's going to take him down.
Yeah.
Not a competitor?
Yeah,
not a fighter?
Yeah, he's a badass.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, he's a badass. You can't. The bottom line is.
Now is he going to go Donkey Kong Fedor style and knock him out at ground and pound? Probably not. You got to remember, too, he also fights at 170 pounds. So there's a lot less finishes at 170 pounds.
He's also probably.
You're comparing him to Anderson Silva at 185 pounds, walks around at 220.
Yeah.
You're comparing him to John Jones as a champion, walks around at 240.
Jose Aldo's 145 and he fucks fools up.
Oh, really? What was his last. He hasn't finished a lot of guys. Like. His last fight, he didn't finish the guy, Frankie Edgar.
Fucks them up. That was the coolest fight I saw in a long time.
Yeah.
Your boy Diaz's face wasn't great after the fight with George.
It was a little marked up. Here's the bottom line, Brennan.
Just saying.
Brennan. Would you admit this? Nick Diaz is more fun to watch than is GSP. He's more exciting to watch because...
You even worded it like yoga. Then his GSP.
Yeah.
Because he comes in and he's going to fight, and whether it means his own destruction, and I'm not saying it's smarter. I'm not saying it's a good business plan. I'm not even saying it's a good fight
I love
plan.
Watching Diaz fight, 100%. Yeah. Diaz is awesome to watch.
Was that an answer to the question? Who do you like watching more? Say it.
George.
Oh, there was a long pause, man. He's lying. On the Brian Callen Show.
No way.
I love Brendan, though, because he's loyal to his friend. He's not. That's his boy. That's his boy. That's his boy. You can't ask Brendan to say anything but good things about his boy. I'd be the same way. And you know what? GSP's a great champion and a great fighter and a badass. And you're right. He's won everything. It's just I find other fighters more exciting. I bet GSP wouldn't even take insult to that. He would probably, you know, I don't think GSP. I think GSP's a humble guy. I don't think GSP is somebody.
Super humble.
Yeah, I don't think he's like, he's his own biggest fan. I think he's fairly, realistic. By the way, I'm watching Ronda Rubber Eyebrow.
Oh, my God.
She's
got, she gonna say
she's
that?
Got arms on her, man. I'm looking at that peak, that bicep. Good luck. Good luck, girls.
I don't know. It's ever since his comments about not liking to watch chicks fight, then I'm like, fuck it. I don't like watching you fight.
wait a minute.
That I like watching him fight after he said that.
The plot thickens. The plot thickens.
No, this makes sense where the hatings come from. No, that makes sense. He says he's not like,
I just hate everything that you stand for in your whole life. Just
easy. I highly doubt.
It's just because I'm old fashioned. That's like, that was a justification. It's just.
Well, okay. So he wants you guys to be 50 housewives. What can you do? No, I'm not saying that. I'll admit, it's tough for me to watch girls fight. Like, when you fight, it's tough to watch. Heck yeah, it's tough to watch.
Well, I don't want to see beautiful women beat themselves up. That's no, maybe a male girl thing. I personally, what I,
I'm just not, you know what it is? I'm not used to it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just not used to it.
Let me tell you something. Get used to it because Ronda Rousey's here to stay. It's dude, so fun to watch her fight. That's what I mean. That's what that's
not
the
fun for Brendan apparently.
No, well, no, but that's what's stressful. That's what's interesting about watching Ronda. That's what's so interesting to me is that I honestly am the same way. I don't like seeing whatever it is, maybe because I'm just attracted to women. I don't like seeing them punch each other in the face. Watching Ronda fight is as exciting to me and a lot of guys as sure. as watching any guy. 100%. That's what's groundbreaking about what she's doing as we talk about you here. But it's really true. It's like you have some quality to you that transcends that gender gap without compromising your sexuality, without compromising your feminine power. You're very feminine at the same time. That's what's so crazy
about
it. But
she's also the biggest freak athlete out of the women. We're talking about all these athletes and being a fighter. She's the way the sport's headed.
I know she is.
She's the first female athlete slash fighter.
Yeah, I'm the president of the Ronda Rousey fan club.
I'm well aware of this.
Yeah, you don't need
very well aware.
By the way, somebody on my podcast was like, "Hey, I like your podcast. How about you stop kissing the ass of every one of your guests?" I was like, "I'm just talking to them, man. I get
like I wouldn't bring them on my show unless I like them. Do you want me to bring on someone I like and just fucking tear them apart for an hour and then have my ass get kicked on the end of it? No.
Right. I don't want Ronda to beat me up, and I am a fan, so I'm a Bashit fan. Well,
I'm going to leave you guys in my house. Don't steal anything. I got to run to practice for reals. So you guys can stay.
No, we're done. This is an hour. We've called. This is the swan song right here, man.
You don't want to hate on any other fighters or talk about game plans and stuff?
I like that we had.
I wanted to go watch you train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like you're going to watch him train. Ronda Rousey, Brendan Schaub, thank you so much for being on my podcast, and it's a real honor. And you continue to be a great example, and I will continue to watch you with bated breath, and I will rubber band my underwear at the TV at my flat screen.
Well, I appreciate your compliments, and I'll try not to let them define me.
Ronda Rousey, thanks for listening to Brian Callen's show. I'll be once again in, just go to briancallen.com for all my things. I'll be in April 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, Edmonton, and then West Palm Beach, May 10th, 11th, 12th. I'll see you then. Later. Bye.
You've been listening to The Brian Callen Show. Be sure to visit briancallen.com for information about this episode as well as past and future episodes. You can follow Brian on Twitter @BrianCallen and like him on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/BrianCallenComedy. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.